Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I never liked camping. I don't know why I agreed to do it. Maybe it was peer pressure, or maybe I just didn't want to seem like the odd one out. It was supposed to be harmless fun, a weekend in the woods, just me and four of my closest friends, Ryan, Gabe, Lisa, and Chloe. We had packed up our tents, snacks, and enough firewood to last us 3 days. It felt like the kind of adventure you would look back on and laugh about years later. The hike to the campsite was longer than I expected. The forest was dense, the kind of place where the canopy swallows the sunlight, leaving everything beneath in a perpetual twilight. The air smelled like damp moss and rotting wood. It was beautiful in a way, but it felt oppressive, like the trees were leaning in, listening. As we trudged along, something nagged at the back of my mind. I couldn't shake the feeling that we had passed the same tree before. Its trunk was split low to the ground, forming a jagged Y shape. "It's just your imagination," I muttered to myself. But when I glanced over my shoulder, the Y tree was there again. It felt like it was following us, though no one else seemed to notice. "Are we almost there?" I asked, my voice breaking the silence. My question was met with groans from Ryan and Chloe, but Lisa didn't say anything. She was walking ahead, her pace slower now, her head turning every few steps to glance over her shoulder. When we reached the clearing, I paused. Something about it felt wrong. Not dangerous, just wrong. The fire pit was already there, a perfect circle of stones that didn't look weathered or old, like someone had just built it. Even the trees around the clearing were too perfect, spaced in an almost mathematical pattern, their trunks leaning slightly inward. "Convenient," Chloe joked, but her laugh sounded forced. I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't the first ones here, not by a long shot. As we set up our tents, I caught Lisa staring into the woods again. Her hands were trembling slightly as she unfolded her tent. "You okay?" I asked. She nodded, but her eyes didn't meet mine.
"Yeah, just, I don't like how quiet it is."
Night came fast, too fast. One moment the sky was streaking with red and orange, the next, it was black as ink. It wasn't like the sun had set, it was like someone had flipped a switch. The fire crackled and popped, throwing shadows that danced on the surrounding trees. The clearing felt smaller now, the trees pressing in closer than they had before. I glanced at Lisa. She wasn't laughing like the others. Her gaze was fixed on the fire pit, her fingers tracing invisible shapes in the dirt. "Lisa?" I asked quietly. She startled, wiping the dirt with her palm and looking up at me with wide eyes. "You okay?"
"Fine,"
she said quickly, too quickly. But when the whistle came again, her head snapped towards the woods. She stared unblinking, her lips moving slightly, though no sound came out. "Did you hear that?" I asked, my heart racing.
"Don't,"
she whispered, her voice barely audible.
"Don't look for it."
Her words sent a shiver down my spine, but before I could press her, Ryan groaned loudly.
Dude, it's just the wind!
I wasn't so sure. The whistle wasn't random. It was deliberate, almost like it was calling.
No, seriously, I said. It sounded like someone whistling.
Gabe groaned. Don't start with that creepy shit. You're just trying to freak us out. But I wasn't. I knew what I had heard. The others dismissed it, but the sound came again. Louder this time. Clearer. A long, deliberate whistle, like someone calling a dog. It echoed through the trees, too sharp, too human.
Probably just some hiker, Chloe said, but her voice wavered.
Hikers don't whistle like that at night, I whispered. The air felt heavier after that, the laughter and chatter replaced by uneasy silence. We retreated to our tents early, but I couldn't sleep. Every rustle of leaves, every creak of branches made my heart race. And then, just as I was beginning to drift off, I heard it again. The whistle. This time, it was closer. The fire had died down to glowing embers, barely enough to light the clearing. The whistle came again, clearer now. It echoed through the trees, too sharp, too human. I sat up in my tent, my heart pounding, and unzipped the flap. The forest was still, but something was wrong. I noticed it first in the way the clearing felt. Different. The trees seemed closer than they had been earlier, their gnarling branches twisting towards the tents like skeletal hands. The fire pit looked untouched, the stones unnervingly clean, like no fire had burned there at all. I stumbled out, clutching my flashlight.
Ryan? Gabe?
My voice sounded hollow in the silence. Then I saw them. Footprints. Bare, human footprints pressed into the dirt. They led straight from the edge of the clearing straight to the tents, stopping right outside mine. A twig snapped behind me. I whispered, turning slowly. She was standing at the edge of the clearing, her finger barely visible in the dim light. Her face was pale, her lips parted as if she was about to speak, but she said nothing.
"What are you doing out here?" I asked, my voice trembling.
She tilted her head slightly, her expression unreadable.
"It's already too late,"
she said softly, almost to herself.
"It always is."
"What?" I stepped towards her, but she turned and disappeared into the shadows. I froze, my breath hitching. That's when I heard the breathing. Slow, deliberate, and just behind me. I didn't turn around. I couldn't. Every instinct in my body screamed to me to move, to run, to do something. But I stayed frozen, paralyzed by the sound of that breathing. It was close, too close, wet and uneven, like whoever it had been was running for miles. The back of my neck prickled, and I swore I could feel the faint warmth of their exhale against my skin. You've felt it before, haven't you? The one that tells you that something's wrong before your brain can catch up. Like when you're walking home alone at night and you feel the weight of eyes on you, hidden in the shadows. You tell yourself it's nothing, just your imagination. But deep down, you know better. That's what this was. Only worse. Because this wasn't my imagination. This was real. I clenched the flashlight tighter, fingers slick with sweat. My voice felt like it had been stolen from my throat, locked away by the growing dread that whatever was behind me wasn't right. My breathing stopped. Just like that, no shuffle of feet, no retreat into the trees. It just ended, like whoever or whatever was there had vanished into thin air. I forced myself to move, my legs shaking as I staggered towards Ryan's tent. My flashlight beam wavered across the clearing, catching the faint glint of something wet on the ground. For a moment, I thought it was dew, but when I crouched down to look closer, I realized it wasn't water. It was blood. The footprints, they were...
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Smeared now, trailing crimson streaks back towards the woods. But what stopped me cold wasn't the blood or the tracks. It was the fact that there was more of them now. Not one set of footprints, 3. Bare, misshapen prints that twisted and dragged like whoever made them wasn't walking on normal feet. I scrambled to Ryan's tent, tearing the zipper open.
Ryan!
I hissed, my flashlight flickering over an empty sleeping bag, crumbled and cold. No sign of him. No sign of Gabe or Lisa or Chloe. I stood there, swallowing the lump in my throat as a silence pressed in, thicker than the darkness itself. That's when I noticed it, my breath hanging in the air, misting in the sudden chill. The temperature had dropped, but it wasn't just cold. It was wrong. The kind of cold that seeped into your bones and made you feel like you didn't belong here, like you shouldn't have come. The whistle came again, louder this time, impossibly close. It was no longer human. It sounded jagged, broken, as if something was mimicking the sound without understanding how it should work. It echoed through the clearing, bouncing off the trees until it felt like it was coming from every direction at once. And then I saw it. The trees at the edge of the clearing were swaying. Not with the wind, but with something moving between them. The shadow, too large, too tall, stretching unnaturally in the faint light of the dying fire. Its movements were jerky, like a puppet with its strings tangled, but its pace was deliberate, intentional. It stopped just beyond the firelight, and for a moment, I thought it was gone. Until I saw the eyes. They weren't eyes, not really. Just 2 faint pinpricks of light, like reflections in the back of a predator's gaze. But they didn't blink. They didn't waver. They just stared, unblinking, locked onto me. You know that feeling when you're in a nightmare, and you know you're dreaming, but no matter how hard you try, you just can't wake up? That's what this was. A waking nightmare, one I couldn't escape. The whistle came again, long and slow, and this time, it felt like an invitation or a warning. I turned and ran. I didn't look back. I didn't need to. The sound of branches snapping and leaves crunching told me enough. It was following me. Every nerve in my body screamed to keep running, but the forest seemed endless, the trees twisting around me like the ribs of some massive dying beast. My flashlight barely cut through the darkness, and the beam flickered with every frantic step. My lungs burned, and my legs felt like they were about to give out when I tripped, sprawling face first into the dirt. The flashlight skittered out of my hand, the bulb finally giving up with a soft pop. I laid there for a moment, gasping for air, too terrified to move. Then I heard it again, the whistle, but it wasn't behind me anymore. It was to my left.
"Stop it!"
I shouted, my voice cracking.
"What do you want?"
The forest didn't answer. Of course it didn't. It just loomed around me, silent and suffocating. I scrambled to my feet, my hands trembling as I searched for anything I could use as a weapon. A rock, a branch, anything. That's when I heard the voice.
Nick, is that you?
It was Lisa. I froze, my heart pounding in my ears. I couldn't see her, but her voice was unmistakable, echoing softly through the trees. Relief and confusion wired into my chest. Lisa, where are you? I called out, my voice trembling. A moment later, she emerged from the shadows, her face pale in the moonlight. She was wearing her jacket, but it was torn, and her hair was matted with dirt and leaves. She looked wrong. Her smile was there, but it didn't quite reach her eyes.
I've been looking for you,
she said, her voice soft, almost too calm given the circumstances.
You ran off and I was worried.
I ran off? I snapped, my fear making me bolder than I felt. Everyone was gone. What happened? Where's Ryan, Gabe, and Chloe? Her smile faltered just for a second.
I don't know. We got separated, but we need to go now. It's not safe here.
No kidding, I muttered, glancing nervously over my shoulder. There's something out here, Lisa. Something.
I know,
she interrupted, her tone sharper than I expected.
I saw it too. That's why we need to move.
Her urgency was convincing, but something about her felt off. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but the way she avoided my gaze, the way her hands fidgeted at her sides, it didn't sit right. Still, what choice did I have? I wasn't going to survive out here alone. Fine, I said, but we need to find the others. She hesitated for just a second before nodding.
Of course, come on, I think I know a way out.
She grabbed my arm, her grip surprisingly strong, and pulled me through the trees. She moved quickly, like she knew exactly where she was going, but her path didn't make any sense. It was winding, looping, as if she was leading me in circles. The whistle came again, distant now, but still too close for comfort. How do you know where we're going? I asked, trying to keep the panic out of my voice.
I don't,
she quickly replied, too quickly.
I think there's a road this way.
But we didn't come from this direction, I pointed out. She stopped abruptly, spinning to face me. Her expression was strange, equal parts frustration and fear.
Do you trust me or not?
She demanded, her voice low and urgent. I didn't. Not entirely. But before I could respond, a guttural growl cut through the air, closer than ever. I didn't have time to argue. We ran, the sound of heavy footsteps crashing through the forest behind us. We reached a small clearing, and Lisa pulled me towards a cluster of rocks.
Hide here,
she hissed, pushing me down behind one of the larger boulders.
Stay quiet.
What about you? I whispered, my voice barely audible over the pounding of my heart.
I'll distract it,
she said, her expression unreadable.
Just stay here, okay?
And then she was gone, disappearing into the shadows before I could stop her. I crouched behind the rock, every nerve on edge as the growling grew louder. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it, a presence in the dark, watching, waiting. And then I heard something that made my blood run cold. Lisa's voice. But it wasn't calling out to me. It was whistling. Long and low, the same broken tune that had been haunting us all night. I don't know how long I stayed there, frozen in the dark, but I finally worked up the courage to peek out from behind the rock. The forest was empty, quiet, too quiet. And then I saw her, Lisa, standing at the edge of the clearing, staring at me. Her face was blank, her eyes glassy, but her lips were curved into that same unsettling smile. "Come on, Nick," she said, her voice soft, almost sing-song. "It's safe now." But it wasn't her voice. Not really. It was too flat, too hollow, like someone wearing her skin and learned to mimic her words. And behind her, just barely visible in the shadows, were the eyes. Two pinpricks of light glowing faintly as they watched me. I didn't wait. I bolted. I ran until my legs felt like they'd snap, until my breath came in jagged gasps and tore through my throat. But no matter how far I went, I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't running away from anything. I was being herded. The trees seemed to close in tighter, the roots clawing at my feet like hands trying to drag me down. And Lisa's whistle. God, that whistle. It never stopped. Long, low, and deliberate. Like it was winding through the forest itself, carried on a wind that didn't touch my skin. Sometimes it was close, so close I thought she was right behind me, but when I turned, there was nothing. Other times it was distant, echoing like it came from every direction at once. When I burst through the trees, my stomach dropped. It wasn't just any clearing. It was the clearing. The same one we had set up camp in. The fire pit was smoldering faintly again, the stones arranged in their perfect, unnatural circle. The tents were back, their flaps closed as if no one had touched them. I staggered forward, my breath catching in my throat. "No," I whispered. "This can't be." A chill ran down my spine when I noticed the trees just beyond the clearing. The Y tree. Its jagged trunk loomed like a marker, its presence mocking me. I had been here before. I had never left. The tents were back. All of them. Perfectly pitched, the way they had been before we went to sleep. My stomach twisted. I knew they hadn't been there when I left. I had seen the empty space, but now they stood there like nothing had happened. The flaps closed, their shapes too still in the faint light.
"Nick?"
A voice called softly, and my blood turned to ice. It was Ryan. His voice was weak, hoarse, coming from one of the tents.
"Nick, help me!"
My instinct screamed to run, but my legs wouldn't move.
Ryan?
I croaked.
Where have you been?
No answer. Just the soft, rhythmic rustle of fabric, like something shifting inside the tent.
Nick!
This time, it wasn't Ryan's voice. It was Gabe's, coming from another tent. Then Lisa's, then Chloe's. One by one, they called out to me, their voices layered over each other, too smooth, too perfect, like they were reading from the same script.
Nick, help us! Nick, we're hurt!
Nick, don't leave us!
The flap of Ryan's tent twitched, and something slid out. Not him. Not anything human. It was a hand, or at least it was shaped like one, but the fingers were too long, the skin too pale, almost translucent. It gripped the edge of the fabric, and then another hand joined it, pulling the flap wider. I stepped back, my chest tightening as a shape began to emerge. It was Ryan, or something trying to be Ryan. His face was wrong, stretched and gaped. His eyes, black pits that seemed to eat the light. His mouth hung open, wider than it should, his jaw creaking like wood under strain.
Nick!
It rasped, its voice still carrying that echo of his, but layered with something else. Something deeper, hungrier. The tent beside his moved, and then the next, and the next. More of them were coming out, each one twisted, mishapping, their forms shifting like shadows trying to hold shape. And behind them, from the dark edges of the clearing, came the sound of Lisa's whistle. Slow, steady, closer. I stumbled back, tripping over the fire pit and hit the ground hard. My head spun, and for a second, all I could see was the sky above, the stars, faint and distant, twinkling through the gaps in the canopy. And then something moved in my peripheral vision. I turned, my heart hammering in my chest, and froze. There was something standing at the edge of the clearing, taller than the trees, its body impossibly thin, a silhouette that did not belong in this world. Its head was wrong, too narrow, too elongated, and its arms hung like lifeless branches. But its face, oh God, its face. It didn't have one, just a smooth, featureless plane that seemed to ripple and shimmer like water in the moonlight. But I knew it was looking at me. I could feel it. The whistling stopped. The silence that followed was unbearable, pressing down on me like a weight. And then, in a voice that wasn't Lisa's, but somehow still was, it spoke.
You shouldn't have come here.
The words didn't echo. They didn't even sound like they were spoken aloud. They just were, filling the space around me, inside me, until they became my own thoughts. The creature stepped forward, and the ground seemed to bend beneath it, the earth rippling like a reflection in disturbed water. The things that had crawled out of the tents froze, their heads snapping towards it as if waiting for a command.
Run.
The voice whispered again, but this time it sounded amused, mocking. I didn't need to be told twice. I bolted into the forest, the sound of my own ragged breathing barely drowning out the rustle of something massive moving behind me. But as I ran, I realized something horrible. The trees weren't where they were supposed to be. They shifted, their trunks sliding in and out of place, the path twisting and looping back on itself like a labyrinth with no way out. Every step felt heavier, slower, like the ground itself was trying to pull me down. And then I heard it, Lisa's whistle. But this time, it wasn't ahead of me. It was inside my head. It came with words now, her voice weaving through my thoughts like a spider spinning a web.
You can't run, Nick. You never could.
And then, as the whistle grew louder, I realized something I hadn't before, something that sent a cold wave of dread crashing over me. It didn't want to kill me. It wanted to keep me. I kept running, but it didn't matter. The forest wasn't a forest anymore. It was alive, shifting and twisting, trapping me in its grasp. My legs felt heavier with every step, as though the ground was pulling me down and my lungs burned like fire. Every direction I turned led me back to the same place. Darkness. No clearing, no road, no way out. The whistle was constant now, burrowing into my skull. It wasn't just a sound anymore. It was a presence, something alive, wrapping itself around my thoughts like a parasite. Every step I took, every ragged breath I drew, it was there, mocking me, guiding me. You shouldn't have come here. Lisa's voice echoed in my mind, but it wasn't just her anymore. It was Ryan's, Gabe's, Chloe's. All of them blending together into something that wasn't human. Their voices overlapped, weaving into a symphony of whispers that drowned out even my own thoughts. I clapped my hands over my ears, but it didn't help. I stumbled to a stop, collapsing against a tree. My legs couldn't carry me anymore. My body was spent. The forest seemed to close in around me, the shadows stretching longer, darker, until they swallowed everything. I looked up, desperate for the sky, for the stars, something, anything to remind me I was still in the real world. But the sky was gone. Above me, there was only blackness. Not the darkness of night, but something deeper, something void. Something alive. And in that void, I saw them, those pinpricks of light, too many to count, scattering like stars, but wrong. Too sharp, too aware.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
I tried to scream, but no sound came out. My throat was raw, my voice stolen by the same forces that had taken everything else. That's when I saw Lisa again. She stepped out from the trees, her movements smooth, deliberate. Her clothing was still torn, her hair still matted with dirt, but her face was different. There was no fear there now, no urgency. Just a calm, unsettling stillness, her eyes empty pools of black that reflected nothing.
"You're tired,"
she said softly, her voice echoing in my mind even though her lips barely moved.
"I told you not to run."
I tried to back away, but my body wouldn't move. The ground beneath me seemed to shift, pulling me down like quicksand. I clawed at the dirt, but my hands sank deeper with every movement, as though the earth itself had turned against me.
"Stop fighting," Lisa whispered.
She crouched in front of me, her head tilting at an unnatural angle.
"It's easier if you don't fight."
"Why?" My voice cracked, barely audible. "Why are you doing this?" Her smile widened, stretching her face in a way that wasn't human.
"Because you came here,"
she said simply, as if that explained everything.
"Because you heard the whistle."
I shook my head, tears streaming down my face.
I didn't know.
"None of you ever do."
Her voice was almost gentle now, like a mother comforting a child.
"But it doesn't matter. You heard it, and now you belong to it."
"What is it?"
I whispered. Her eyes flicked towards the darkness behind her, and for the first time, I saw it clearly. It stepped out of the void, its form shifting, unraveling and reforming with every step. It was too tall, too thin, its limbs too long and angular, its face, even if it had one, smooth and blank. But the worst part was the way it moved. It didn't walk or glide. It folded into existence, like the space around it was bending to its will.
"You're part of it now,"
Lisa said, her voice fading as the thing approached.
"We all are."
I tried to scream again, but my voice was gone. My mind was unraveling, the whispers growing louder until I couldn't tell where they ended and I began. The thing crouched down, its featureless head tilting as if studying me. I could feel it pressing into my thoughts, peeling back my memories, my fears, everything that made me, me. And then, finally, I understood. There was no escape. There never had been. This wasn't just a forest. It was a trap, a living, breathing thing that fed on people like me. People foolish enough to stray too far, to hear the whistle, to follow it in the dark. I felt my body sinking deeper into the ground, the cold earth swallowing me whole. Lisa knelt beside me, her hand brushing my arm. Her skin was ice, but her touch felt like it belonged to a stranger. "Don't fight it," she murmured again. "Soon you'll forget, and then it won't hurt anymore." I wanted to fight. I wanted to scream. But as the darkness closed around me, I realized I didn't have the strength. The last thing I saw was Lisa's face, her hollow smile etched into my mind like a scar. The last thing I heard was the whistle, soft and haunting, fading as the world dissolved around me. And then, there was nothing. I jolted awake, gasping for air, my body drenched in sweat. My hands clutched at the dirt beneath me, solid and real. For a moment, I couldn't move, my mind still trapped in the suffocating nightmare. My heart pounded in my chest, and I frantically looked around. I was in the clearing. The fire was out, but still smoldering faintly, a thin line of smoke curling into the starry sky. The tents were exactly the way they had been, untouched. The forest was still, save for the occasional rustle of leaves and the faint breeze. It was just a dream. Just a terrible, awful dream. I forced myself to sit up, my breath still coming in ragged gasps. But as I did, I noticed something that made my stomach twist. My hands were trembling, and beneath the dirt caked on my palms, there was something else. Scratches. Deep, jagged scratches, as if I had been clawing at the earth. It wasn't entirely a dream.
"Nick, you okay?"
A voice called softly. I turned to see Ryan emerging from his tent, rubbing his eyes. Behind him, Chloe and Gabe were stirring, their groggy voices breaking the stillness. My words caught in my throat. I wanted to tell them, to scream that something was wrong, that we needed to leave right now. But my stomach felt dry, the words stuck somewhere between my panic and the rational part of my brain that tried to convince myself that it was just a dream.
"What's wrong?"
Chloe asked, stepping closer. Her face was etched with concern.
"You look like you just seen a ghost."
I think we're in danger. I finally managed to choke out. My voice sounded foreign to my own ears, shaky and strained.
"There's something in these woods, something watching us."
Ryan frowned, his half-awake expression quickly turning skeptical.
"You had a bad dream, man. That's all it was. You're freaking yourself out."
"No," I snapped, louder than I meant to. The others flinched, and I immediately regretted it, but I couldn't stop. "It wasn't just a dream. I heard it. I felt it. There's something out there, and we need to leave now."
"Nick,"
Gabe said carefully, his voice low, like he was trying not to spook me. "It's in the middle of the night. We're miles from anywhere. Let's just wait until morning, okay? If you're still freaked out, we'll pack up and go."
"Morning?"
The words sent a chill down my spine. I couldn't explain why, but the thought of staying until dawn felt wrong. Like something terrible would happen if we didn't leave right now.
"Please,"
I whispered, my voice cracking.
"We can't stay here." "Nick,"
Chloe started, but her voice trailed off. Her gaze shifted past me into the forest, and her face went pale.
"What?"
I asked, turning to follow her eyes. but there was nothing there. Just the trees, dark and impenetrable.
I thought I saw...
She shook her head, rubbing her arms as if suddenly cold.
Never mind.
It's probably just a deer or something, Ryan muttered, but his voice lacked any conviction. I wanted to argue, to grab them and drag them out of the clearing if I had to. But before I could, the whistle came. Faint at first. So faint it was almost indistinguishable from the wind. My stomach dropped.
What the hell is that?
Gabe asked, his face going pale.
I told you,
I whispered, my voice barely audible over the rising pitch of the whistle.
It's here.
The others exchanged nervous glances, and for the first time, I saw fear in their eyes.
Maybe we should go, Chloe said, her voice trembling.
Ryan opened his mouth to reply, but before he could, the whistle grew louder, more deliberate, echoing through the trees like it was circling us. The air felt heavier, colder, the oppressive silence closing in again.
Grab your stuff, I said, my voice firm now. We're leaving.
We scrambled to pack, but something about the air felt wrong, like it was thickening around us, pressing against my chest. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. Every time I glanced at the tree line, I expected to...
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
See those pinprick eyes staring back at me. As we moved to leave, I felt a tug of deja vu, like I had done this before. Like I had already tried the run, only to end up back in the clearing. The thought made my head spin, my pulse quicken.
What if?
I started, but the words stuck in my throat.
What if there was no way out? What if we were already trapped?
The whistle came again, piercing and sharp, cutting through my thoughts. This time, it wasn't distant. It was right behind us.
Run!
I screamed, and we bolted, plunging into the forest. The trees blurred around us, and my heart pounded so loudly I couldn't hear anything else. Not the others, not even my own breathing. But as we ran, the forest seemed to shift, the trees warping and twisting like they were alive. I could feel it, some invisible pull drawing us back, no matter which way we went. Then suddenly, I bursted into a clearing and stopped dead in my tracks. My blood turned to ice. It was the same clearing. The tents were back, the fire smoldering faintly. And standing there by the edge of the woods was Lisa. She turned to look at me, her face calm, her eyes empty, and her lips curled into that same unnatural smile.
Nick, she said softly, her voice carrying on the wind. You can't leave. You know that.
Behind her, the shadows stirred, and those pinprick eyes blinked into existence, one by one. And that's when I realized I wasn't waking up from this. Because I had never left.